All right, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Jude. And I don't know, Brother Lane had sent me a text when he was in the airport. Brother Lane, did you ever get any of the text back that I sent to you? No. You know, I tried to call Les, didn't go through. I called his home church here in Texas. I said, do you guys know his address down there? They're like, no, we don't have his address. I finally called him again. It went through. I told him you guys were in there. He said, I can't get to him. Anyway, so.
We could send messages via Messenger.
Okay.
And we could send
emails.
Okay.
You didn't get any? Yeah. So I've got a whole list of texts that I sent you while you're down there. A lot of good that did. All right, Jude, verse 1. Last week, remember, we looked at the book of Jude and his introduction. We said, how do you introduce yourself? And what is our testimony? And Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. This is a letter written to saved people. It is written to people who are in a church, and that church is in danger of people that are creeping in unawares of subverting, really, the scriptures and the truth of the gospel. And I want to look tonight at just this fact. We're sanctified by God the Father. And that is a very important thing for us to know. I hope tonight that you're here and you know that you're saved, that you know that you were a sinner on your way to hell. Now you are, if you're saved, a saved sinner on your way to heaven, reconciled to God. That is a work of God. It is not something that you do. It is not something that you say, boy, if your kid doesn't come to this church, then you're not going to heaven. See, but that's religion, and that's a lot of what religion does. This is based upon the work of Jesus Christ. It's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. The work that sanctifies the believer is done entirely by the Son. All of it is the work of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. The work of sanctifying the believer is wrought by the Father. We see that in the verse here. It's God that does the sanctifying because of the work of Jesus Christ. And the work of placing us into Christ is done by the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit work to sanctify us. The entire Godhead works together then to keep us secure until we are present with the Lord. Because right now, are you still a sinner? Yes. But we are secure, and we'll look at that next week, preserved in Jesus. We are secure, but that is because we are sanctified by God. When God sees you, who does He see? He sees Jesus. He sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ. It's like looking through a telescopic lens or a microscope. You're seeing something through a lens, and God the Father looks at us through Jesus Christ. We are placed into Christ by the Holy Spirit, sanctified by the Father. Let's pray. We'll look at the message tonight. Father, I ask that You would help us. Lord, it is Your Word. We've come here for Your Word. We're thankful to hear, and we pray for the Zerbies down there in Costa Rica. We pray for the work that goes down there. We pray for more souls to come to know You. Father, they've got a beautiful place. But Lord, it's not our place. It's not the building that is the vital importance. It is the souls of men. And God, I pray for those people down there that they'll be able to reach more and more people for You. But God, we're grateful. We're grateful here to have a nice church building to meet in, a place to come to worship You, a place of comfort. But God, it is what we do here that's important. And God, I pray that Your Word would help us tonight, Lord, that we would learn and be challenged. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so three types or definitions of sanctification in the Scripture. When God says you are sanctified by God the Father, I want to look, what does that word mean? And in looking at what the word sanctification means, we are going to be challenged tonight. And remember, Jude, as he writes this, he's writing this to a group of people who have this definition, the Bible definition of sanctification taking place. Sanctification number one is the once for all separating out of the world those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. You are sanctified by God the Father. You tonight, if you are saved, you are as good as in heaven. In fact, the Bible says you are placed in heaven, in Christ, in heavenly places, sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. If Jesus is there, you're there. Now, physically, we're not there. Our soul is not yet there, but our security is there. And it is because God does not see you as the sinner anymore. He sees you as someone who has been saved because of Jesus Christ. He sees you as someone who is clean because of Jesus Christ. And look, can you get to heaven on the merit of Jesus Christ? Yes. Can you get to heaven on your own merit? No. Can you get to heaven based upon your own works? Never. Can you ever undo the fact that you are a sinner? We cannot. But Jesus Christ did that. They are no longer joined to sin. We are no longer condemned. We are no longer sentenced to hell. We are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Let me read some verses. You're in Jude. Go ahead and turn to verse 19. There are some people that try to sanctify themselves. Jude 19 says this, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Now, Jude verses 1, 2, and 3 are written concerning and to and describing the believers. And then Jude verse 20 and on down are also concerning the believers. In between, there is a staunch warning. It is a warning that there will be people that will creep into the church. They'll misdefine the church. They'll misuse the church. They'll turn the church into all kinds of wicked things. And Jude is written really to say, look, do not fall into that trap, because these people that he's described there in the book of Jude, these people are, they separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They're not, he's saying, look, there's a group of people that can infiltrate an assembly that are not even saved. Now, if you're saved, that's not you. Okay, but there are, in churches throughout the land, people that do the things of Jude. So, Jude 19, you've got some people trying to sanctify themselves, and people try to sanctify themselves by quitting sin. Well, you know, I quit doing this, I quit doing that. That does not save you. The Holy Spirit of God moving into your heart by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that saves you. You've got people that are trying to reform themselves, but without salvation. Without salvation given by Jesus Christ, one cannot be sanctified. There is no cleansing. There is no separating to God the Father without the work of Jesus Christ in our hearts. One must be sanctified by the Father. The fact that God sets some things apart for himself is found throughout the scriptures. And I'm going to read several verses for the sake of time. Exodus 19, 23, there was a mountain that was sanctified. God said concerning that mountain, he says, "See that you don't touch it. When I come down on it, you don't touch that mountain because it is set apart to me." In Exodus 28, 41, Aaron's house was sanctified for the office of the priest. He said, look, they are set aside for my service. There was a specific call for them. They were separated for that purpose. They didn't have some other purpose. That was their purpose. In 1 Samuel 7, 1, Eleazar was sanctified to keep the ark. And that was his job. He was set aside. He was going to watch over the ark of the covenant there. In the scriptures, many things are sanctified for specific uses. You had furniture that was specifically used for the tabernacle, no other purpose. Belshazzar got himself in trouble using that stuff for other purpose, didn't he? You had the tabernacle itself. It was God's place. It wasn't a tent set up for other purposes. It was a place to come and worship God. You had offerings that were set apart to God. You had days of the week that were set apart. So God says, this is my day. One day in particular in the Old Testament was the Sabbath day. It was God's every week. And it was set apart for him. You had You had many other things, food. The nation of Israel was set apart. An altar was set apart for God, never supposed to do something different with that altar. But Hebrews 13:12 says this, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Now, do you get that? Jesus suffered outside of Jerusalem. He died on the cross in order to sanctify you. That's pretty special, isn't it? Jesus wants to save you. And if you're here and you're saved, Jesus did that. If you're here and you're not saved, Jesus wants to save you. Hebrews 2:11 says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Can you imagine that Jesus Christ would look and say, "Hey, Brother Christian, Brother Blue, Brother Timothy, Jesus, why, how is it that the holy, holy, holy Jesus can look at us and say, hey, Brother Bradshaw, welcome to heaven. Brother, sister, welcome to heaven. How is that? Because he cleaned us up. He set us aside for himself. Romans 15:16 says this, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul says, God specifically called me to work and give the gospel to the Gentiles because he also wants Gentiles to be sanctified. Who sanctifies them? God the Father, and the work through the work of the Holy Ghost and the work of Jesus Christ. You know, anybody can be saved. So, well, I know this guy. He's really, really bad. Jesus died for him. So I know this guy, and man, every time I get around him, boy, I look at him and he looks scary. Jesus died for him. So, well, you know, how about these people over in Russia or China or Asia, or you know, these people out in the middle of the jungle in Africa, or these people over here? Jesus died for every single one of them and wants to save every single person. He wants to. He did the work. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." What's a church made up of? Sanctified people. Not perfect people, not sinless people, but people that God has cleansed. And that's an incredible, incredible thing. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm preaching about double speed tonight, okay? So you stay with me, and I am moving through this. I'll get the 3 points out, and we're working through this because we have the other things that have gone on tonight. But I want you to get this, okay? Hebrews 10:10-14. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Is that incredible? One offering? You mean all of those Old Testament sacrifices that took place all the way through the Old Testament from the first one of Adam, and they could never do the job, and then Jesus comes and by one offering, the offering of himself, he sanctified us forever. Done, it's finished. Verse 14, "By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now, is that good? One offering, you know what? I don't have to drop an offering back there in the box to stay sanctified. I don't have to pay a priest to forgive me of my sins. Jesus Christ was the one offering for that. That is a great thing. 1 Corinthians 6:11, if you'll turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. This is incredible as well. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Here's a group of people, and it says this, "And such were some of you." What kind of people made up the church of Corinth? Well, let's read it. fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abuser of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Look, what has to happen?
Say, boy, I don't know if I want to go to church with a bunch of people like that.
Well, you know what? When they're cleaned up by Jesus, it's okay. Can God save anyone? Yeah, there's a whole list there. And so what he says is, and such were some of you. Now, the key is were. You get saved, you don't stay in that stuff. You get saved, God changes you. You don't live in that hogwaller anymore. Okay, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That is a great thing to be cleaned and set apart by God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and this will shift us into the next point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that is completely, that is every part of you, and it goes on and says what part? Sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the goal of sanctification, look, your spirit is 100% secure. The Holy Spirit moves in and gives life to your spirit. Your soul is 100% secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your soul is that part of you that makes the decisions. It is who you are. And your soul lives inside of your body. And Jesus says, I can clean it all. I can sanctify it all. And we move to the next point. Sanctification definition in the scriptures number 2 is this, where the believer, through the instruction of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, determines to separate from those things in the world which displease the one who saved him. So what is that? Real simple. We read the Bible. The Holy Spirit says, that you're doing is wrong. We say, okay, I'm going to change. Now, this is not a matter of us trying to clean ourselves up. This is a matter of us who are saved and cleansed by Jesus Christ falling into line with the Scriptures, doing what the Scriptures say. You try to do that in your own power, you're going to fail. You try to do that in your own power, you're probably going to brag about it. But it really takes the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It takes the Word of God. The Word of God, you know, is effective at cleaning us up, isn't it? All right, so let's, Jude 4, go back to our text passage. Jude 4 says this, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old. Now, these are those same guys that we already looked at that are essential not having the Spirit. Okay, they've crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are people sneaking into the church, and they sneak in there and say, you know what, because of God's grace, I can continue to live in adultery. Because of God's grace, I can steal and I can do all of this because, you know what? It's all covered by the grace of God. Because of God's grace, it doesn't matter whether I continue to drink. It doesn't matter whether I continue to smoke. It doesn't matter whether I continue to cheat. It doesn't matter because, hey, you know what? It's God's grace that saves us. We don't have to do anything. Now, when a person gets saved, does God clean them? Yes. Does that give us license to just keep living the old way? No. And what they did is there's this group sneaks in and they say, hey, brother, you know, that pastor, he's telling you you need to live right. You need to live by the Bible. But it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. You got your ticket to heaven. Jesus paid it all. Here's some phrases that they use. Don't judge me. Judge not that ye be not judged. How dare you judge me? You know what happens pretty soon? They get out from under Bible preaching and scripture. Why? Because the Bible and scripture is not going to let a person be comfortable when they want to stay in their sin. You know what? I love when a preacher, I love to listen to preaching as well. I preach. But boy, when we have a revival meeting, somebody comes up and I like it when God convicts me of sin that's in my life. And the Word of God puts a light on it and says, boy, you need to take care of that. Maybe it's one of those inner things that we've talked about on Sunday mornings. Maybe it's one of those outer things. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's something in the mind. What do we want? I want to live for Jesus. My flesh doesn't necessarily want to. The flesh likes to sin. Did you know that? But Paul battled that. But here's a group of people saying, it doesn't even matter. And they're coming into the assembly. And they're telling other people that. And Jude has a message for them. He says, look, I want to start out by introducing myself. I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ. And I want then to tell you, I'm writing to you who are sanctified. You're not of this world anymore. You're different than this world. And I have a message that you have to get this message. Let me read the verses. The act of sanctifying ourselves is found throughout the scriptures. Leviticus 11:44a says this, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Well, Pastor, I just thought you said that God the Father does the sanctifying. Yes. For heaven, God does all of the sanctifying. As far as our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, God does all of the sanctifying. But who works on this old flesh where you still live? Because is this flesh going to heaven? This flesh is not going to heaven. That's why when a person, they have to die to go to heaven, or they have to be raptured, in which case this corruptible puts on incorruption. The flesh gets changed because this sinful flesh can't make it to heaven. Okay, so we look at this. He says, I want you to sanctify yourself and be holy. Now, I'm not saying to do this on your own power. We do it by getting in the book. We do it by asking God to give us the strength to live for Him while we're dwelling in this corrupt, sinful body. 2 Corinthians 29:5, and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. You know what? They had taken God's holy place, and they had abandoned it, and they had used it for storage, and they didn't keep it clean, and it was God's place, but it had just basically been left abandoned. You see buildings like that around town, right? You know what? I believe personally it's important to have a clean church facility. I think it honors God to have a clean church facility. People walk in, you know, it's not perfect. There's step-by-step remodeling stuff that has to take place from time to time, right? But the place ought to be clean, and it can be clean, and because why? It's the place where we come to worship God. Now let me go this direction. Where does the Holy Spirit of God dwell, and what is the tabernacle of God today? It is you. Does God want a filthy tabernacle? No, he wants a clean place. So these Levites had to sanctify themselves, and then they went in and they had to clean up the house of God, the tabernacle at that point in time. Exodus 19:14 says this, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. You know what? When the people came to meet with God, they just need to be neat and clean. You know, you're coming to meet God. I'm not saying you have to wear a suit and tie. But I'm saying you ought to come and remember, you're coming to meet God. You're coming to worship God. You're coming into the presence, into the courts with thanksgiving. You're coming and you're here to sing to God Almighty. You're here to sing to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. I think it's important to be neat and clean. It's being sanctified physically here in this earth. Joshua 7:13, there was a problem, and here's what took place. He says, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the cursed thing from among you. Here Achan, remember Achan going into Jericho, and he stole certain things, and he hid it under his tent, and he got all concerned. Boy, I want that Babylonian garment. I want that Canaanite garment, that silver, that gold, those things that were in there. I want to keep that for myself. And God says, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not yours. That's wrong. That's sinful. And what happened to the nation of Israel when they went and attacked Ai? They lost. They got defeated. Why? There was an accursed thing in the midst. And he says, you got a clean house. Got a clean house. You know what? If we choose to live in sin, it affects us. But it affects our family. And it affects the entirety of the church. And so you know, there's this idea that Jude is dealing with. He says, I'm writing to people who are sanctified by the Father. No, it is not okay to just continue in your sin that grace may abound. It is not okay. Jesus saved you. He sanctified you. He washed away your sins. It is not okay for you to keep living in adultery. It is not okay for you to keep living in fornication. It is not okay for you to keep looking at pornography. It is not okay to keep drinking. It is not okay to keep smoking. It is not okay to keep living in sin. Keep using bad words, our language. It's not okay. And Jude puts that message out there. Leviticus 27:14 says this, and when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. So here's the opportunity of a man saying, he's giving his house, but he's sanctifying, he's setting it apart for whatever God has for it. You know, when we think of house, often we think of family. Is your family sanctified to God? Set apart to God? Are you teaching and training your children up to be given to God? Sanctify the house. Turn with me to these ones, 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. I want you to see a problem that was going on here. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. In verse 3, it says, for they could not keep it at that time. Okay, so they're getting ready to keep the Passover, but they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. They need to keep the Passover, but the priests have to be able to do the sacrifices. They weren't clean. Do you know, always in a church, there's an abundant need for ministry workers. Do you know what hinders more than anything else for ministry workers? People don't want to be sanctified. See, if you won't live a sanctified life, how can you teach these children to live a sanctified life? And so, how can a choir that's not sanctified stand up here and sing about the blood of Jesus that washes away all our sins? And so they couldn't keep it. Verse 15, same chapter. Verse 15, it says, then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings of the house of the Lord. They said, we got to get some things right so that we can serve. And then they did that, and then they served. Verse 17, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing the Passovers for everyone that was not clean. So somebody's supposed to come. Well, boy, I'm not clean. I can't do this. So the Levites, they had gotten on the ball. They had sanctified themselves. And they said, I can offer that sacrifice for you. Let's get this straightened up. Chapter 31, verse 31, verse 18. And to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives, their sons and daughters, to all the congregation, for in their set offices they sanctified themselves in holiness. See, the Passover really hadn't been kept for a while. And they said, we got to keep the Passover. Well, we can't keep the Passover because we don't have ministers. We don't have servants. We don't have people to do the job. And so the people got busy and they started sanctifying themselves. So, man, I got to get this right and I got to get that right. Really, there was a great revival that took place here, and it went down to the wives and husbands and children, everybody. And boy, when they're all said and done with this thing, the people had gotten cleaned up. And I'm not talking about washing their hair and all that. I'm talking about they got things right in their hearts. They got rid of the idols out of their houses. They got rid of the sins out of their lives. And they came together to worship and serve God. Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8 combines these two sanctifications, the one done completely by the work of God, which places you in the family of God, which places you in heaven in Christ, and this one that you're supposed to work on and work through, that you have to work on. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8 says this. Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes. Now, in our flesh, in this body, are we supposed to do what God tells us to do? Yes. Are we supposed to just say, well, I'm covered by the grace of God, I can keep on sinning? No, he says, you keep my statutes. You look at what I've said and what I talk about clean living, and you do that. But then he says this, ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. I am glad for that first sanctification that took place when I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I wouldn't even be on my way to heaven without that. But then God says, I want you to grow in me. I want you to be cleaner today than you were yesterday. I want your mind to be more right today than it was a year ago. I want you to keep growing in grace. And that grace teaches you that denying ungodliness. And then the third sanctification is this. It's the sanctification of God. What? God needs to be sanctified? Now, God is completely holy, but here's what it is. Not that God is sanctified from evil, but the call for us to view God properly in our hearts. Do you think that our country has lost their view of God? And the Bible calls on us to sanctify God. What that means is, now he's absolutely holy, but we need to view him as such. He hates sin, and we need to view him as such. Because when we get an unsanctified vision of God, we might think that God is only love and God is okay with us sinning. That is not a sanctified view of God. So let's read the verses here. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He says, look, there's going to be people, because you're saved and you're living for God, people are going to come and they're going to ask you, what is this life that you live? But you know what? We're never going to be right in our flesh, in this body, if we don't get a proper view of God in our hearts. And Peter is calling on them, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You need to sanctify your view of God. God is not worldly. God is not wicked. By the way, Jesus didn't have long hair. Jesus had no sin whatsoever. Jesus was not a cool dude. Sanctify him. He's Jesus. Numbers 20:12 says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring the congregation into the land which I have given them." Aaron made a golden calf. What did that do? It blasphemed God. It belittled God's name. And he says, "Aaron, you're not going into the land." Moses, God said, "I want you to speak to the rock." And Moses was mad and he struck the rock. It's like, "Moses, you disobeyed me right in front of the entire congregation. And you ruined a picture that I was trying to make. And you're not going into the promised land." But what did he say was the problem? Moses and Aaron both failed to sanctify God in their hearts at that moment. And they were a bad testimony at that moment. Because how do you make God into a golden calf? You want to talk about wickedness. And how do you just disobey God in front of everybody and everyone? That takes the name of God and brings it down. He says, "You didn't sanctify me in your hearts." Isaiah 8:13 says this, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear and let him be your dread." God's an awesome God. God's a holy God. God's a God that hates sin. God's a God that has so much compassion and love that he sent Jesus Christ. And look, God doesn't overlook sin. God just punished his son in your place. Jesus didn't die on that cross so you could just freely live in sin, or I could freely live in sin. Ezekiel 36:23 says, "I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." God says, "I'm going to have to judge the nation of Israel." Why? Because the heathen already don't sanctify my name. But he says, "My congregation blasphemed my name in front of the heathen." When a church, a body of believers,